This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How did it all go last night?
Look, it was really good. It was a really interesting night, and we learned a great deal about the candidates.
Okay, who turned up?
Everybody turned up except Bruce Clark, who was an apology. I'm not sure. I think he's got some health issues or something like that.
Anybody else didn't turn up?
Steve Cruikshank also didn't turn up.
Okay. All right. What were you expecting, the Daintree Marketing Co-op? What were you expecting from last night?
What we wanted to do was to give our members the best opportunity to make an informed decision. And I believe we achieved that.
Okay. Tell me why.
Well, we were able to find out, for instance, what people's plans were for funding and Tourism Port Douglas Daintree and also the Daintree Marketing Cooperative. And I was really pleased to see that all of the candidates pretty much supported funding. The incumbents seem to be pretty happy with the way things are going now. And a lot of the prospective candidates seem to think there should be changes made. And, you know, a couple of those candidates have done a fair bit of research and presented pretty compelling cases. But the other thing that was good was that the prospective candidates also talked a lot about community consultation and how they were going to improve that. So that made me confident that if they're elected and if there are changes made to the marketing bodies and et cetera, that'll be done with extensive consultation with the community.
Were there any candidates that you were very impressed with?
I'm speaking personally here because I have to be really careful because I'm not speaking on behalf of the organisation.
Sure.
When I say who I was impressed with. Michael Kerr is very, very well prepared and has done a lot of very good research and, you know, was able to answer a very curly question from the floor, you know, with very, very good reasoning.
What was the curly question?
The curly question was, setting aside coronavirus, setting aside Daintree Ferry issues, setting aside electricity issues, what are the main issues facing tourism in this area?
The answer that he gave you, were you happy with it?
He unlike a lot of other people who answered, he didn't talk about things that she said she wanted set aside. But I don't know the answer to the question, by the way, and I suspect that she just asked it to see who had thought about the issue the most. So, I don't know the right answer either. I actually, as MC, had a little bit of leeway, and I said, I'm going to try and answer it too because it's a good question. And my answer was that the picture that you see when you go up that big overtaking lane out of Cairns doesn't match the reality that's behind the picture. And that's what I see as a big problem facing tourism. The waste disposal, recycling, electricity supply, etc. doesn't match the glossy image.
That's an interesting point that you make.
Well, it doesn't. And you know, I guess this is the key differences between candidates. you have, you know, some incumbents who are keen to start carbon trading you know, get the process with the, what are they calling it, a community reference group with the block of land. And then you've got some other, you know, prospective candidates who want to get back to basics and get some of the stuff on the ground fixed up before we go into the overarching stuff. And that was sort of presented, I think, last night as a fairly clear difference between candidates.
Lawrence, one of the big things, of course, in the Daintree that people are talking about at the moment is the electricity grid, the hydrogen electricity grid. Did you get any feeling from the incumbents that they would support this at all?
That was interesting. Zamataru said he would not support it. He was very clear about that. Abigail Noley and Julia Loy pretty much said what they've been saying all the way along. Let's wait for the report to come out and then we'll have a look at it. But, you know, the risk for the community then is that they don't like the report. And I was really disappointed to also hear talking about, you know, more subsidies for RAP systems, which I view as kicking the can down the road for the next generation. My daughter's 10. If you get a subsidy next year for new batteries, they'll be worn out in 10 years. She'll be 20 years old and perhaps a ratepayer, and the can's kicked down the road for her, whereas a microgrid looks like a much more long-term solution. I have to mention that the Terry Melchett was very forward-looking, and Terry and I have a bit of a past, and we haven't always agreed on stuff, and I suspect we don't now. But he said, look, if this microgrid's successful, there's no reason why the whole process couldn't be expanded to the rest of the shire and we have our own microgrid.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I thought so. It's at least looking positively towards the future, because we all know that fossil fuel's on the nose and has to go out at some point. And if we can find workable solutions, then let's go with them. But you've got to start somewhere.
Lawrence, I'll put this to you and just, you know, tell me what you think. But to me, you know, you've still got, well, you said Roy Zamataro does not want that hydrogen grid. The mayor and the deputy mayor say, oh, yeah, we want a report. And they're continuing on that. They're not sort of actively supporting it. Which doesn't make sense to me, considering the amount of diesel that's spewed out in our beautiful Daintree. One would think, and you think this council, you know, they're going on about carbon credits are clean and green, but it doesn't equate to their attitude towards the hydrogen grid. What do you think?
Look, I totally agree. I had a question from the floor, and my question from the floor was, will you support the microgrid? And that's why I can answer, able to answer your question. And I put in it, apart from the obvious, that the council won't run or fund the microgrid. And that was where Roy said, I don't support it at all. And that's where we got this other information from. All the other prospective candidates that were there said that they supported the microgrid. And, you know, there was some talk about people, again, I think by Abigail Nolly, about people not being forced to connect. And, you know, you're not forced to connect in Port Douglas. But, you know, I did raise the issue that if you lived in a house in Port Douglas in a normal residential street and you had a wrap system, you wouldn't be able to willy-nilly run your backup generator, would you?
No. And yet millions of litres of diesel are being spewed out in the beautiful Daintree rainforest. That's why I just can't work out. Well, I kind of got my ideas about why the present incumbents don't want it. And I think it has a lot to do with not letting more people or wanting more people into the Daintree.
Well, look, that point was made really strongly by the incumbents, that they were very much about protecting the environment. And they didn't want to see our natural assets destroyed. And in fact, you know, they also talked about, you know, the possibility of the town plan being changed by a new council and the area being ruined by overdevelopment. But, you know, on the other side of the fence, all of the prospective candidates stood up and said, look, we don't want to see the area ruined. We just want to look at the town plan to perhaps make it a bit more workable. You know, Kim Rowley said that he'd had a thing before council that took 2 or 3 years or something that, you know, according to him was a relatively simple, you know, change. And I think the prospective councillors are probably right that there is room to massage the town plan to suit us better. All plans get changed, but I don't think there was a single person present on that night who wanted to see high-rises in the Daintree or, you know, beachside developments and, you know, general environmental ruination.
Okay, and how does officially the Daintree Marketing Co-op feel about the hydrogen grid?
The Daintree Marketing Co-op wrote a letter supporting the microgrid, as did Tourism Port Douglas Daintree. So I think their feelings are pretty clear.
It's interesting that Tourism Port Douglas Daintree supported Tara Bennett, because the council, of course, they provide the money for that particular group and are very close to that group, and yet Tara has supported it.
Tourism Port Douglas Daintree is an independent organisation, and I've had to make that pretty clear to a couple of other residents over the past few days. And, you know, like carbon trading, which I believe Tourism Port Douglas Daintree also supports, it's a gimme for marketing. It's something that just fits. So Tourism Port Douglas Daintree, with their remit of marketing, are going to support anything that they see as a positive for marketing of the region. And I think that's that would sum up probably why they support it. Because imagine, a zero carbon microgrid in the Daintree when you're travelling around the world, you can say, you know, come and see how it should be done.
Absolutely. It's a marketing dream.
It is.
If you can sum it up the whole night, you're very happy with it. And what do you believe came out of it?
Look, what I believe came out of it is that if people vote for the incumbents, they're going to get more of the same. So if you're a member of DMC and you think everything's going along swimmingly and sweetly, then you'll probably vote for the incumbents. If you're looking for change, new ideas and new plans, then you'll probably pick out from some of the prospective candidates. We emailed out the returned questionnaires, and there was a candidate, Lisa Scomazon, declined to provide written answers.
Was there any reason she gave for not answering those questions?
Yeah, look, I don't want to speak for her, but she addressed that on her Facebook page, so you'll be able to go and see
All right.
that.
I'll check that out.
I think she just feels it inappropriate for prospective councillors to commit until they know more about the finances of council. I think that's what she was saying.
Yes, because in the past, of course, these questions have ended up a trap, because once you answer questions and you're committed on something, when you're elected, then other people, maybe small interest groups, say, aha, you said you were going to do that, but you haven't done this. So it does sort of, I can understand a little bit why Lisa was a little bit, sort of holding back on that.
Yeah. And, you know, some candidates answered in great detail, which gave them opportunities to say things like, we do want to look at council finances in detail, but I do support the concept. Other people just wrote yes. Our members can now look through all those written answers, and some of them were very, very detailed, and make a decision. And, you know, look, I made a point on the night as well. I thanked the current councillors for their efforts, because it's not an easy job. And there's a lot of hours in it. And I also thank the prospective councillors for standing, because I thought about it and I determined pretty quickly that I didn't have the time to do it. So I think we're very appreciative that we've got so many people standing, especially that in Queensland there's in some places very, very few candidates standing at all, and a lot of mayors being re-elected unopposed. So we're lucky to have this interest, aren't we?
Thank you, Lawrence, for giving us the summing up of what happened at the Heritage Lodge last night.
No worries, my pleasure.